Well, it's glad to be here. Good to see each one of you. I was teasing Leonard. I said, the attendance is down just a little bit. Was that because you heard I was going to preach or because you didn't know? But we're glad that you're here, whether you're in the sanctuary, whether you're in the parking lot, whether you're listening on the web or somewhere else. It's good to be in the Lord's house, just to come and worship the Lord together. We thank you for every blessing that the Lord has given us. And we pray God might just touch your heart today with what you need. That's the wonderful thing about it. The Lord's so gracious, so powerful, so all-knowing. And we just pray that he'll touch your heart in a special way. Touch my heart in a special way. Let's pray. Lord, it's good to be in your house, to worship you, to honor you, to thank you, to praise you. Father, we thank you for every person that's gathered to hear what you have to say. And Father, whether they're listening on the radio or whether they're listening through the web or whether they're here in the sanctuary, I thank you that the Holy Spirit is so all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful that he can speak to our hearts wherever we are. And Lord, as we worship you, may we worship you in spirit and in truth. As we sing, as we pray, may Jesus Christ be honored, lifted up, glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everybody this morning. It's good to see the visitors this morning, and good to have you all in the house this morning. We're going to, as always, we're going to start off with a hymn sing. And this morning is a little bit different because Brenda, as you know, is still recuperating, so she won't be on the organ. And Kathy is away today, so we're going to do it different today. One is the first song we're going to do, the hymn sing today. We're going to do a cappella. And then the next song we're going to sing, Jeff Kay is going to play. And that's going to be a hoot, I promise you. But no, we will have special music where we'll see later. Let's all stand, if we will, and let's sing. It's going to be, the words are going to be up on the wall for you. All for a thousand tongues to sing, okay? We're going to do all four verses as we sing together. I'll hope I get the standard key. If I don't, y'all forgive me. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer praise, the glories of my God and King, the trumpets of his grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. Jesus, the name that calms my fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ear, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin, he sets the prisoners free. His blood can make the foulest clean, his blood avail for me. Before you sit down, turn around and say, welcome somebody to church this morning. I did too. Bless his heart. He says he can't sing, but I did too. He still hadn't heard me. I'm not going to say any more. I won't say any more. No, he's stuck. I have a lot of announcements this morning. I'm going to move on before I really get in trouble. And I have a lot of announcements this morning, so you all pay attention. It's got to involve you as many as I've got. Some of you has to be. Number one, the building and grounds needs your ideas for church improvements, so please be sure you get that into the building and grounds. And while we're talking about the building and grounds are sponsoring a work day Saturday, June the 12th. More specific information will follow, but mark it down in your calendars, Saturday, June the 12th, work day here at the church. We will restart our Sunday schools June the 6th at 9 a.m. It's a different time, so please be sure you know, and I'm sure we'll get that fixed out on the board. Our board's still saying 10 and 11, so we'll make sure we get that down under the building and grounds. We'll take care of that. So, but anyway, please be sure Sunday school will start at 9. We'll have the adults 2 and 3 will meet in the sanctuary, and adult 1 will meet in the fellowship hall, and all other classes will be in normal classrooms. And I'm going to turn it over to Kenny. Kenny, I think you want to add something at this point. Okay. Thank you, Kenny.
Just make sure you got right stuff.
Yeah. And don't worry about the dates on that literature, okay? It's 2020, right, Kenny? And but it's still
one class, some are 21, and that's the grades 1 through 6.
Okay.
1 through 5.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you, Kenny. Good job. Good job. All right. In addition to that, our Wednesday night services, we're going to open those again. Our Wednesday night prayer and Bible study will restart Wednesday, June the 2nd at 6:30. Mark that down at your time. We want to thank for an additional generous gift that was given to our Baptist Children's Home Fund food drive. Our final total was $2,295. God bless us. All right. Sunday, June the 13th at 6 o'clock, the Singing Towers will be here in concert, and we'll be here in honor of our 94-year-old bass singer, Heath Hahn. It'll be an honor night to honor Heath, and so y'all come be with us. We'd love to have you here. It'll be June the 13th, Sunday night, June the 13th at 6. All right. Baptist Men's Barbecue. Jeff, that we need everything turned in today, right, to you?
I need the counts today. You can still call and add one up until Tuesday, but I need to know where you're at today. So if you will, get with me when you leave and let me know. Right now, looks like we've sold a little over 30 butts, and there's several that I know still got some to turn in. Actually, it's 35, and about 60 chickens so far.
Wow. Okay. That's good. That's good. That's really good. All right. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. All right. The stewardship committee would like to meet down front right after service. So before you go that way, come here, stewardship. Okay. Graduation Sunday. Graduation Sunday will be June the 6th. June the 6th here. So far, I have the following graduates, and I want to make sure that we don't miss someone. And so far, I have the following graduates. Chris Barbie, high school, Avery Hartzell, 6th grade, and then Carson Barbie, preschool K, to go into the 1st grade. Have I missed anyone?
Avery should be 5th grade.
Okay, I got that wrong. Okay. 5th grade. Well, I can hardly remember when I graduated to the 5th grade. I don't think we graduated then, did we? No, we really didn't. We just said thank the Lord we made it and go. Yeah, 8th grade. Yeah, that's right. Anyway, congratulations, graduates, and we'll have a Sunday on the 6th to make sure we recognize you. With the Lord's Supper will be next Sunday, the communion. We'll be handling it like we've done before. We will have individual bread and wine be down front for you to do. And so it'll be handled differently, but we'll still have our communion service next Sunday. Are there any announcements that I have overlooked? All right. With that being said, we'll go on to our prayer request. Our prayer request is I have so far. Let's remember Harold Floyd. I talked with his son yesterday, and Harold is in a very, very serious condition. He has heart failure, and he also has kidney failure. So both of them together is not is horrible. So the family is just waiting on God's will. That's what's going on. Let's keep praying for Brenda. She's convalescing. I think she has a couple more weeks to go. Let's remember her as she continues to go. Pray for our church as we go back into Sunday school. Let's pray for each teacher and each leader as we go forward and moving into our Sunday school. And also the Wednesday night, let's pray for Pastor Ed as he comes and leads. And let's remember that service. And please support it. Please come and be part of that Wednesday night service. Remember Tony's son, Mark Eford. He has some heart troubles, heart problems. Let's lift him up before the Lord this morning. And then Shirley Edwards. Shirley's not with us today. And Shirley's experiencing some problem with blood count and having some weakness and not feeling well at all. So let's lift up Shirley Edwards. Is there anyone else now this morning that we need to? Yes, Lori.
No broken bones, but then when they were coming home, somebody lost the mattress off the back of the truck and they ran over it. Also, they were coming home from the emergency room when that happened. So, just be in prayer for Emma and Chastity.
I'm sorry, what's the name?
Chastity and Emma.
All right. Yes, Lyle.
First cousin, Rick Hodd.
Yes. Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Lord. Yes, Stacy.
My cousin Becky Williams.
Yes.
Had to be rushed to the emergency or to the hospital yesterday by ambulance. I'm not sure what's going on, but she's had a lot of health issues.
Okay. Anyone else? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for a Lord's Day that we can all come together and assemble. Lord, we thank you for those that are here in the sanctuary and then also those that might be in the parking lot and then later on as the webcast. We're so thankful, Lord, that your word is being preached. Your word will soon be taught in our Sunday schools again. And your word will soon be studied and prayed for during Wednesday night. We thank you, Lord, but we ask your leadership, your guidance, your wisdom as we go forward with these services. And Lord, we thank you for an opportunity to be here today. And now, Lord, there are those, Lord, that are hurting. There are those that, Lord, that need your touch, that needs healing from you. And God, we always pray in your will. In your will, Lord, we pray. But we lift up Harold Floyd to you this morning as he is experiencing problems with his heart and kidneys. We pray for Brenda as she continues to convalesce. We pray for our church. Continue to bless us, I pray. And then for Tony's son. We lift up Tony's son, Mark, to you as he is experiencing heart problems. And then Miss Shirley, as she can't be with us today, we pray for her and with the blood count issues she's experiencing. And then, as Lori has mentioned, has asked us to remember Chastity and Emma, who had some problems from the, and we pray for lift him up to you, Lord. We pray for Rick Hahn, and he is battling cancer. And then Becky Williams, we pray for her this morning as well, special prayer. And then, Lord, we know that there's many, many people who are in our nursing homes, and for those who can't be with us today, would love to be with us. I pray for them this morning. Now we pray for Pastor Ed as he comes forward and preaches to us today. We're so thankful, Lord, for him. We pray a special blessing upon him. Go with us now, and further as we go further in this service today, we're going to give you all the glory and all the honor, and all the people said, amen. All right. We are, as I said, we are going to do a little something different in our song of our praise this morning. I kidded around a little bit. Oh, by the way, before I do that, I think there's something. Don't we owe Jordan a big congratulations? She won that equestrian thing yesterday again, hands down, again, all over the place. I never seen so many ribbons. It looked like some of mine. I wish. No, congratulations to Jordan. I know y'all proud. Jeff's up there just popping buttons, and he couldn't help himself, so I wanted to go ahead and do that. So, all right, so we're going to praise the Lord for her and do that. But let's sing together a song of praise this morning, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And when I was kidding, I told you that we are going to have a special music, and we are. We tried this, and I don't know how it's going to work. We knew that there would come a day when we wouldn't have a piano player or an organ. Maybe something could happen. It wouldn't. So we'd need something. So Jeff goes out and buys this system. And so, Jeff, let's see what happens, okay? So everybody stand. Sweet Hour of Prayer. Let's sing these verses together and Jeff, with Jeff playing. The children now be dismissed. You may be seated.
Not bad for one lesson. Last week, good news, you can write it.
All right, play, kids.
You know, the thought came to my mind even as we sang that last phrase. The Bible says, now we see through a glass darkly, but then we see face to face. Yes. Now we pray, and we don't, occasionally somebody has a vision of the Lord Jesus, but most of the time, we're just praying in an empty room, empty car, wherever. But one of these days, we'll be talking to the Lord face to face. Face to face. And then earlier this week, whenever Leonard told us we'll be doing some a cappella music, I thought, well, we're just going back to the old days. I doubt there was an organ or a piano in the Mayflower. I mean, if you've seen that little boat and all those people that had been on it, they wouldn't have had a place for an organ or a piano. Now, somebody may have had a little pitch pipe or some kind of thing, but we did well. Thank you so much. And I sure am glad Leonard texted me the other night and asked who was going to be preaching today, and I looked up and found out he wasn't preaching. It was me. So, thank you, Leonard. I appreciate that. You remember the story you heard as a kid about the little Dutch boy who stuck his finger in the dike and saved his village from flooding? Now, he was a hero. Now, he was just a little boy with one finger, but he saved his village. Could you be a hero? You think about a couple of the heroes of the Bible. A little widow lady that gave two mites, two pennies. Not much, but I've heard somebody that was a mathematician say compound that at compound interest for 2,000 years and said it's amazing how much two mites add up in 2,000 years at compound interest. Or you think about the other little boy that was a hero. Five loaves and two fish. Or to put it in contemporary, maybe it was a Chick-fil-A to-go box. Five thousand men, not counting women and children. So Jesus took that little lunch that boy had and fed a multitude of people. Then I think about the story in the Bible of Sodom and Gomorrah. We don't look it up, but it's in Genesis 19 if you care to go back and look at it earlier or later. And the Lord makes a promise. If there are 10 righteous people, I'll spare Sodom and Gomorrah. But they couldn't find 10 righteous people. Isn't that sad? Now, if Lot and his wife and their daughters and their son-in-laws and everybody had been believers, it had been 10 at least. But there weren't 10. Are you and I the righteous people that the Lord is seeing that is preventing our nation from being totally destroyed? This morning I just felt led to do a little Bible study. Now, if you take notes, you may want to write a bunch of these scriptures down because we're going to look at a number of them. Start off in Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Psalm 33. And it answers the question, what nation is blessed? 33 verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. God lets us know that the nation that chooses him and that he chooses, we choose each other, that nation is blessed. And I mentioned the Mayflower earlier. Those folks were looking to follow the Lord. Folks came, immigrated from other parts of the world for a lot of reasons. But many of those early settlers came because they were looking for a place where they could worship the Lord Jesus Christ in freedom, in liberty, however the Lord laid it upon their hearts. And they didn't have to pay taxes to support a state church. They could give as the Lord led. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now go with me over to the book of Judges. Chapter 2. And we find out right quickly that we have a choice. A nation has a choice. Judges chapter 2 verse 7 says, "And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel." During the time of Joshua, the people made a choice. We will serve the Lord. And the leaders who were contemporaries of Joshua, we will serve the Lord. And so for a number of years, Israel served God and they were blessed. And they were blessed. Now just flip over just a couple of verses to verse 10. Judges 2 verse 10. "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were around about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth." You see, here's another period in the history. One generation says, "We will serve the Lord." The next generation, "We don't want anything to do with the Lord." And they began to serve all the gods that and goddesses that the nations around them served. And they began to do that which was an abomination unto the Lord. And they provoked the Lord to anger. They brought themselves under the condemnation and the judgment of God. Now flip on over in Judges to chapter 21. Judges chapter 21. You might want to, when we go on from there, you might want to stick you a little note or something right in there, because we're going to come back to a verse that's very close to this one. Judges 21, verse 25. "In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Every man decided that he would be God, and he would choose his own path. He would choose his own direction. He would worship as he pleases. He would do as he pleases. And there were no rules, there were no standards, only what I say. That sound like what you saw in the news last night? Read in the paper last week? Is it not amazing that we have so many people who are saying, "Listen, I think this is right. I think I'm right. I think you're wrong. And of course, the guy over here is saying, well, I think you're wrong and I'm right. And we're setting our own standards. Now that reminds me, and I'm going to, if you want to turn over there to a book of Romans, chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, Paul says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkening. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. And then he just goes on and lists a lot of the vile, ugly things. When man decides, I am God, I make my own rules, I go my own way, I choose and no one else chooses, God says, okay. Okay. You want nothing to do with me? Reap the harvest. Reap the harvest of what you've sown. He said, men should know better. They could just look at creation, he says. The beauty of creation. Oh, it just all happened. It just all evolved. I'll give you a Bible word for that. Baloney. I mean, you know, you just think. How many different beautiful flowers there are. How many beautiful fruits there are. How many vegetables there are. How many thousands of different types of animals there are. And I've seen some studies that say that there's certain DNA and chromosomes and things that you can't have this if you don't have this. But in order to evolve, you've got to have this. But wait a minute. You can't have this if you don't have this. It just don't work. Biologically. But man just closes their eyes and say, you know, God couldn't have done it. God couldn't have done it. Yes, God did do it. And because man will not listen to God. Man will not believe in God, will not follow God. Chaos is the result. Now go back with me to 1 Samuel. That's why I told you to keep you, put something there at the end of Judges. If you go to 1 Samuel chapter 3, which is just over about 3 or 4 pages from the end of Judges. And remember, Samuel was one of the last of the judges. There are a number of judges, Gideon and Deborah and some others, but Samuel was the last. And in chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, verse 1, it says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Basically what he says is, the word of God was scarce. God wasn't talking. Because people weren't listening. The word of God was scarce, was rare. People weren't listening to the Lord. Now, as I think about this, it doesn't mean they weren't religious. You think about it for a moment. Where was Samuel? At the tabernacle that they'd been built in the wilderness and brought with them into the promised land. This is before Solomon built the temple. This is the tabernacle. Eli's the high priest. And so there had been continual succession of high priests going back to Aaron. So all of this period of time, there was religion. How many bulls and goats and doves and other animals they sacrificed, I don't know. But that's the same group of people that was serving the Baals and the Ashtaroth and doing all this other ungodly stuff. Think about it. They were religious. But God wasn't in it. God wasn't in it. Is that not sad? That they can have religion. They can have what I would say orthodox religion, which, you know, we call ourselves Christian. But God wasn't there. God wasn't speaking. Because nobody was listening. Until finally, if you know the rest of you remember the rest of the story, Samuel began to hear and walk with God. How much today do we hear, "Thus saith the Lord"? And how much today we hear, "Well, I know the Bible says, but here's my opinion. Here's what science says. Here's why my professor at college said." We can have religion. And if you remember over in Timothy, Timothy talks about in the last days, men will have religion, but he says, denying the power thereof. No presence of God. Folks, we need the presence of God. We need the power of God. We need God showing up. We need the Lord doing what only the Lord can do. You see, they made a choice. And because they made a choice, the presence of God just wasn't there. They were religious, but without God. I want to look at a couple of sad places in Scripture. Turn with me to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. And the psalmist is talking about basically the same group of people. Psalm 78, beginning verse 8, "And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast before God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law, and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them." Now think about that for a moment. It talks about how they turned away from God. And because they turned away from God, they had no heart. No, they became cowards. And it says, the children of Ephraim, which was one of the largest tribes of the 12, armed with bows, chickened out when the fight came. Think back to your history. The bow and arrow at that time was the most modern weapon. They'd gone from sticks and stones and clubs and swords, and a guy with a bow and arrows, he was the elite. And so this was the best armed soldiers on the battlefield. Can you imagine the military of the United States turning coward, facing a bunch of people with World War I rifles? No. And yet this is exactly what Ephraim did, because they had turned their backs upon God. And because they had turned their backs upon God, even though they were well equipped, they had no heart to do what's right. They had no heart. Now today, we face a battle. And we're equipped. Every one of you have a Bible. If you don't, I'll give you one. I've got more than enough. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit, the very presence of God in us. And that Holy Spirit is all powerful, all wisdom, knowledge, insight. Everything we need lives in us. And there is a battle going on in our nation and in our world. Now, folks, when I'm talking about being in a battle, I'm not talking about storming the Capitol or rioting and rioting and burning cars and looting buildings. I'm talking about prayerfully voting. I'm talking about having a godly influence. I'm talking about using a powerful witness. I'm talking about living right in the power of God. You remember over there when Joshua called the troops together and everybody, the nation together, right before, he retired. He said, I don't know what you guys are going to do, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If every person in America that says they are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ made their house a godly place, this nation would turn around in a month. I mean, how much trash do you watch on TV? How many ugly movies do you go to see? What kind of literature do you buy? And I realize for all of us, it's a growing process. Oh, about a month ago, there was going to show a movie on TV, and I don't get many channels, but it was going to be on one of the channels we get. It's a movie we saw when it first came out. And I enjoyed it. And I flipped it on. And I thought, was the first version of this that I saw this vulgar? And I hit the off button. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Maybe they jazzed it up, this rerun, and put some more vulgarity in it. I didn't remember it from the first time, but I wasn't watching it this time. If we as believers made the honest choice, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, What difference would it make? Look over in Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel. chapter 22. This is another sad commentary on Israel. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Now, I started off with the story of the little Dutch boy who stuck his finger in the hole in the dike. God says there was a gap in the godliness of my nation, and I looked for somebody who would stand in that gap in prayer and maybe prophesy and do whatever needed to be done to call upon the Lord and to lead the nation. And he said, I couldn't find a single one. Is that not sad? Is that not terrible? God says, I looked and I looked and I looked and I couldn't find anybody. Ah, but go back to Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6, verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Here's another period in history. And God said, I'm looking for a man. And it could have been a woman. And Isaiah said, I volunteer. I'm willing to go. Now, we won't read it, but God goes on to tell him it's going to be a difficult time. It's going to be a time of struggle. Not everybody's going to listen. Not everybody's going to believe. But Isaiah says, I volunteer. I choose to do right. You know, Queen Esther, it said she came to the kingdom for such a time as this. Any one of us could have been born in 1300, 1700, but God had us born now. This is our time. You and I were born for this time. You could have been born in China. You could have been born in India. You could have been born somewhere else. But God had you born here in this area. And you may have been born somewhere else, but God has brought us together here at Barbie's Grove and in Stanley County. We are here for a time like this. Can we be righteous and godly and say with Isaiah, Lord, here am I, send me. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll live how you want me to live. What was the military recruitment slogan? We're looking for a few good men. God's looking for men and women and young people. Who will live righteously, who will live holy, who will live godly. People who are in love with Jesus and willing to pay the price to follow Jesus wherever he leads, whatever he says, wherever he goes. Let's be that kind of person. You say, well, I'm not much. All it took was one little boy with his finger in the hole. All it took was two little mites. All it took was one little lunch. It's amazing. Here am I, Lord, send me. And watch what God can do. How's the old phrase go? Little is much when God is in it. Amen. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? Would you say to the Lord this morning, Lord, I want to be one of those that are one of the righteous ones. I want to be one of those who stand in the gap for our church, our state, our nation, our world. Lord, I want to be the kind of person that honors you. Lord, I'm the person that I choose for my home to serve the Lord. Father, this morning I thank you. I thank you so much that you can take us and use us for your honor and your glory. I thank you, Father, for what you're going to be doing in the hearts of the people here at Barbie's Grove and through this church and in this community. We proclaim it. God be lifted up and glorified and honored. And as Jesus promised, as he's lifted up, men will be drawn to him. And I thank you, Father, for doing that. I thank you for the hearts of a group that's tender toward you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I do thank you, Father, that we are the best equipped in the history of Christianity with the Bible and the translations of the Bible that we have, and most of all with that indwelling presence of the Spirit of God who's greater in us than he that's in the world. Oh, thank you, Father, for that. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming, and what stewardship committees needed down here, right quickly. Thank you. Thank you.